Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning, I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is 5 Things You Need to Know Wednesday, the 16th of June, 2021. Today, Biden meets with Putin, plus record heat continues to bake the West, and more. Here are some of the top headlines. Israel hit a number of militant sites in Gaza with airstrikes early Wednesday. The raids were the first since a ceasefire with Hamas last month. There were no immediate reports of deaths. The Senate passed a bill on Tuesday making Juneteenth an official holiday. June 19th marks the date in 1865 that enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, discovered President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation freed enslaved black Americans in rebel states 2.5 years earlier. And the United States has officially passed 600,000 deaths from COVID-19. Deaths from the virus are way down as more and more Americans get vaccinated, but the current 7-day average is still at about 430 deaths a day nationwide. President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin will meet in Geneva, Switzerland on Wednesday. The meeting caps off a week-long trip to Europe for Biden, including G7 and NATO summits. Earlier this week, Biden called Putin a worthy adversary, but also declined to get into specific expectations.
I've been doing this a long time. The last thing anyone would do is negotiate in front of the world press as to how he's going to approach a critical meeting with another adversary and or someone who could be an adversary. It's the last thing I'm going to do. I have met with him. He's bright, he's tough, and I have found that he is a, as they say, when he used to play ball, a worthy adversary. But the fact is that I will be happy to talk with you when it's over, not before, about what the discussion will entail. Navalny's death would be another indication that Russia has little or no intention of abiding by basic fundamental human rights. It would be a tragedy. It would do nothing but hurt his relationships with the rest of the world, in my view, and with me.
Experts suggest that Biden will likely press Putin on a long list of U.S. grievances, including human rights concerns and recent cyber attacks that came from Russia. And Putin may try to highlight political polarization in the U.S. and other American issues. International correspondent Kim Helmgard has more.
This is probably the most colorful, potentially, part of his trip, certainly most anticipated part. He's going to be having a summit, call it a summit, you know, it's another one-day meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. And there's been a lot of things in the atmosphere lately from the U.S. perspective. I mean, depends where we want to trace this back to. Obviously, there's a lot of history, but near history, we can talk about, obviously, the 2016 presidential election, where those, you know, hacking allegations are still with us. And the Russians have, you know, never admitted to it. U.S. intelligence agencies say, you know, there's no question really that it happened. And then since then, the number of grievances have kind of deepened, but also expanded. You know, there's several different forms of cyber attacks that the U.S. blames, if not the Kremlin directly, then certainly its proxies or affiliates and associates. You know, whether these are hacks of private companies like the Colonial Pipeline one, or whether it actual attack on U.S. agencies like the Pentagon, State Department, Department of Energy, which happened as part of the SolarWinds assaults. There's other Russian territorial aggressions against Ukraine, are still with us. They started in 2014. Russia annexed Crimea. They moved then onwards to sort of eastern parts of southeastern parts of Ukraine, where Russia still has supported separatists, has amassed thousands of soldiers on that border, you know, for military drills. Just to talk about Crimea, that is an example of Russia essentially annexing, or the Russians dispute that concept and that phrase because they view it as theirs going way back. Annexed a part of a different country, you know, and that hasn't happened too many times, really, in modern history. There's plenty of other stuff to talk about. U.S. will want to bring up human rights transgressions. You know, there's been a couple of high-profile cases lately. One that folks might remember is to do with a Russian dissident called Alexei Navalny. He's a kind of democracy activist who has been a thorn in the side of Mr. Putin for many years and kind of comes in and out of the news. But he was poisoned by a military-grade nerve agent and spent some time in Germany recuperating. And when he came back from Germany to Moscow, he was arrested for breaching some parole conditions with a separate charge that him and his supporters claimed were politically motivated. Navalny is in prison, and it's unclear what the evidence against him is. Next to Russia is a country called Belarus, which is again a former Soviet country that has aligned itself quite closely with Russia since the end of the Soviet Union. The leader of Belarus is a guy called Alexander Lukashenko, often referred to as Europe's last dictator. And Belarus is a very difficult country to be in, to report in. A couple of months ago, there were some pretty big democracy, kind of pro-democracy protests and marches in Belarus. A lot of people were arrested. A lot of people were beaten in captivity. A couple of weeks ago, a Belarusian kind of dissident journalist who was attending a conference in Greece got on a commercial flight from Athens to Latvia, which is next door to Belarus, where he has been in exile. And somewhere during the flight, the Belarusian authorities said there was a bomb threat against the flight and had the flight diverted to Minsk. And when the plane landed, and this is a commercial airliner, this dissident journalist was arrested along with his girlfriend. It's quite an extraordinary length that Mr. Lukashenko has gone to kind of grab this opposition voice. And there's no evidence that Russia has sort of been involved in this particular incident. Putin is a strong backer of Lukashenko and essentially kind of props Belarus up economically, militarily. There's really no other reason why Lukashenko could have lasted more than 30 years in power without Putin's support. What leverage Biden has over Putin on these issues is a little unclear. I mean, you know, the consequences are sanctions. Well, Russia's been sanctioned tons already.
The summit is expected to be more confrontational than 2018. Then-President Donald Trump dismissed assessments from his own intelligence agencies about Russia's alleged meddling in the 2016 presidential election. Democrats will meet Wednesday to discuss the potential next steps on an infrastructure plan. Democratic lawmakers said they would negotiate with Republicans on a bill that focuses on traditional transportation. But if a deal cannot be reached, they now plan to bring those programs into a larger climate bill. They would use budget reconciliation, a process that bypasses the filibuster that requires a 60-vote majority in the Senate. Instead, they'd be able to pass with a simple majority. Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told reporters that both a bipartisan track and reconciliation track are moving forward, and he hopes to get both done in the month of July. The Federal Reserve on Wednesday may signal an earlier interest rate hike than expected. The economy is improving as COVID-19 infections and restrictions fade in the U.S. Inflation is jumping with high demand and supply chain shortages. And policymakers may push up their forecast for an interest rate hike from 2024 to 2023 at the earliest. Fed Chair Jerome Powell may also hint that the Fed will cut back from its $120 billion a month in Treasury and mortgage bond purchases earlier than expected. Those purchases help hold down long-term interest rates, including mortgages. Family members of late University of Michigan football coach Bo Schembechler are speaking out after his son alleged he was sexually assaulted as a child by the team's doctor, Robert Anderson. Matt Schembechler said last week that he told his dad in 1969 that Anderson sexually assaulted him when he was 10 years old. But the doctor continued with the team for decades, and hundreds of University of Michigan athletes have accused Anderson of sexually assaulting them. A warning, the accusations are disturbing. They range from fondling their genitals to giving out draft deferrals for the Vietnam War in exchange for sex acts. Multiple players told the coach about what happened, but no changes were ever made. Anderson worked as a doctor at the university until 2002. On Tuesday, Bo Schembechler's second wife, Kathy, who is not Matt's mom, and his son, Glenn, issued a statement defending the late coach. They said that Bo never spoke to them about any inappropriate behavior by Dr. Anderson and that he would not have tolerated misconduct. Anderson died in 2008 and Bo Schembechler died in 2006. On Wednesday, dozens of former players and other students who say Anderson assaulted them will hold a news conference outside Michigan Stadium demanding action from the school's leadership. Dangerous heat continues to bake much of the western U.S. More than 50 million Americans in 8 states were under heat warnings and watches on Tuesday. Dozens of daily records have been smashed this week, ranging from California's central and inland valleys as far north as Wyoming and Montana. Billings, Montana, saw a daily record of 104 degrees, and a daily record held since 1919 in Miles City, Montana, was shattered by 12 degrees. Officials are also worried about an increased risk of wildfires across Montana. Denver saw a Tuesday high of 101, beating the record for that date by 4 degrees, and Tuesday's high of 115 in Phoenix tied a 1974 record. Elsewhere, power grid companies in California and Texas are warning that plants are offline more than usual because of the hot weather. They're also telling residents to save energy when possible to avoid rolling blackouts. Thanks for listening to 5 Things. If you have a second, it really helps the show if you can drop us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. There you can also give us a review if you'd like. You can also find us wherever you get your audio, including Spotify and your smart speaker device. Thanks as always to Shannon Green and Claire Thornton for their great work on the show. 5 Things is part of the USA Today Network.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.